You know, normally, well, we have the questions and answers tents every year. There's two of them this year on that side. And whoever's making the presentation, they normally they say a few words, maybe 10 minutes or so about some subject, but then the great majority of the time they answer questions. So here we're not going to follow that format. We are actually going to have a seminar. A Krishna conscious educational seminar. What do you think of that? Income plans or income plan. Right. So, well, let's just start with some kirtan first of all, and then we'll let you know just a little bit more what we're going to do and how we're going to do it. Namo Amo devotees, all glories to this Amo devotees, all glories to this Amo devotees, all glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga, all glories to Srila Prabhupada.
Hare Krishna. So as you know, this is the seminar tent, and we'd like to welcome His Holiness Bhakti Chaitanya Swami Maharaj, who will be speaking to us on lessons from the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. And since it is a seminar, it's obviously going to flow over the next 3 days. At the same time, at 2:30, at this tent. And we'd like you to come for all of the sessions. So we're going to provide you with some books and pens. We'd like you to return the pens. Alright, because about the books, please keep it, write your name and carry that book with you every day, because we won't be able to provide you new books every day, except to new people who come and give them a book. Alright, so that's okay with you, please do that. And due to the absence of tables, we made it a hardcover book, so you could get some firmness when you are writing, and I hope that's okay with everybody. So, we're going to hand this over to Maharaj, and thank you all at the same time for coming to the seminar. Thank you much.
Thank you, Srimati Krishna Prabhu, very much. And thank you all for your interest. Yes, we began saying a few words just before the kirtan, how this is going to work and the format and so on. And yeah, it's different. It's intended to be educational and not really that the questions and answers are entertainment as such. It's also educational, but this is certainly more focused on a particular theme, something which we can learn from and something we can apply later on an ongoing basis in our lives. And therefore, it is longer, our session. Each session is an hour and a half. We'll be here till 4. And you know what we'll do? We'll lock the door so no one can go out. You have to get into it. That was just a very small joke. But that's the idea, because, well, the title is Lessons from the Pastimes of Lord Chaitanya, and I think you're all well aware who is Lord Chaitanya, the most recent incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna. He came 533 years ago, to give the whole world the process for this age of Kali Yuga, this age of quarrel, hypocrisy, and all sorts of extremely unpleasant things. So what we're going to do, the basic idea is to examine some of the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. Of course, they're very interesting, and even sometimes they're quite colorful. And you could say entertaining also. We'll really try to probe a little deeper and see what we can learn, as we said, in terms of something we could apply to help us progress in Krishna consciousness. So how does that sound? Is that okay?
Yes, Maharaj.
Is that all right? Okay, thank you. Well, it would have to be for you. So we do want your attention, and we do want you to stick with it, and try and take it seriously, see what you can gain. So first of all, just repeat after me, please. Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda.
Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda.
Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda. Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda.
Jai
Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Thank you, very good. Let's just get the atmosphere up a bit. So where should we start? There are so many pastimes and so many things to learn. I thought a good place to begin would be to examine in a little depth. Well, you know, seeing we have an hour and a half, or till 4 o'clock, so an hour and a quarter today, there's probably time to go through two pastimes, I would imagine, maybe more, let's see. But I would expect at least two. We will start with a very interesting and colorful and informative and educational pastime, which is the cleansing of the Gundicha temple. The cleansing of the Gundicha temple. Now, just a little background first of all. The pastime of the cleansing of the Gundicha Gundicha temple, first of all, is the place where the Jagannath deities from the big temple in Jagannath Puri there on the east coast of India. So at the end of the Rath Yatra procession, the Jagannath deities are taken down from the chariot the chariots go to the entranceway of this temple, this other temple, the Gundicha temple. And the chariots stop there. And the deities are taken off, and they're taken inside the Gundicha temple, and there's a special place set aside for them. This has been going on for hundreds and even more, maybe thousands of years. No one really knows how long, but really an awfully long time. So there's a place set aside for the Jagannath deities, and they're placed there on this altar. It's a kind of simple altar. In fact, it's really just a platform. It has no, you know, pillars, columns, and anything over the top. It's just a base, and then a platform, and that's it, and they sit there. For about a week, they sit there. But that is the only thing that happens in at least that part of that temple. Otherwise it's a temple and they have other places and altars here and there. But otherwise, that particular place where the Jagannath deities go, that it's only used at that time for 1 week. It's only used at that time. And the rest of the year, it just sits there, sort of collecting dust. Well, literally collecting dust. So therefore, shortly before, very shortly before, even the day before, but at least shortly before the Jagannath Rath Yatra and the arrival of those deities, that area, the temple room area and the altar for the Jagannath deities is cleaned. And seeing it's been sitting there for, say, 51 weeks, it needs a good cleaning. So this happens every year anyway, but while Lord Chaitanya was staying there in Jagannath Puri, he was staying there non-stop, basically, for 18 years. And he would organize and participate in, fully, just get completely into, cleaning the Gundicha temple. Everyone's got a notebook and pen. Anyone not? Oh, look, there's someone who hasn't. Yes, the young lady will provide you with one. Okay, so now, this is all described in the 12th chapter of the Madhya Lila of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. In fact, the chapter is titled The Cleansing of the Gundicha Temple. So the thing is this, listen to this, and you may want to note this down, because this is very relevant. We're going to read a verse, first of all, from the Madhya Lila, but from another place. It's actually from the 19th chapter. It's verse 159 of Madhya Lila. You see, this is the point. This is the point. That Lord Chaitanya organized and participated in cleaning the temple that day twice. And our acharyas, spiritual masters, great authorities, they have compared those two cleanings of that temple to levels of cleansing our hearts. Two levels. First of all, at a more simple level, a kind of basic, not exactly not just introductory, but a basic level of cleaning. And then second, a higher level cleaning of more subtle, dirty things. Well, this explanation particularly is given by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, Srila Prabhupada's spiritual master, and by Prabhupada himself, that the first cleaning is equated with the cleaning of the heart, which is required in order for a devotee, for you devotees, to become qualified, purified enough to be able to be given first initiation. Now, what does that mean? In simple terms, when someone is to get first initiation, if they want first initiation, they have to be able to follow the four regulative principles. Now, you're all devotees, eh? You must be familiar with this. No meat eating, no meat, fish, eggs, onions, garlic, these things. No intoxications, including tea and coffee. No gambling, and no illicit sex life. So, in order for a person to receive first initiation, and plus you have to chant no less than 16 rounds of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra for a reasonable period of time, normally at least a year or even a couple of years, it's normally like that, before you will be considered qualified to receive first initiation. So, and when we mention these four regulative principles, no meat eating, etc., the idea is that we, the devotees, hoping for first initiation, come to the point at which they can comfortably follow those principles. Not sort of by hanging on and, you know, fighting, battling with your mind and your desires and your feelings and your habits and all that, and somehow surviving. I survived the four regulative principles for 1 year. Is that the end now? No. Yeah, okay. So it's not so easy. It's not so easy. Those of you who are doing it will be able, I think, to agree and certify that at least sometimes it's not so easy with some of them. I'm not going to examine you here. But there was one disciple of Srila Prabhupada, unfortunately passed away a few years ago, Kushikrata Das, and he was, you could say, a specialist in the intoxication side of things. Sure. Yeah. He was a bizarre person, actually. And when he received first initiation from Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada asked him, so what are the four regulative principles? He repeated them. And Prabhupada looked at him and said, what is your favorite? Prabhupada was a very tuned-in person. He could pick up where you're coming from, just like that. practically just by looking at your shadow. Anyway, okay. So but this is the idea. You have to make progress. You know, it's very unusual that a person can just walk in off the street just like that and comfortably follow the four regulative principles. Usually, at least sometimes, one has to make a bit more of a real effort. But then one can come to that point where, you know, basically one is stable in that. So then, that's what the first cleansing of the temple represents. But then the second cleansing represents cleaning out more subtle types of internal contaminations. More subtle, and they tend to be more difficult even. So anyway, like you said, we're going to read this verse. If you want to look it up later, it's Madhya Leela, Chaitanya Charitamrita. Madhya Leela, chapter 19, verse 159. Nishidacha kutinati jiva himsana labha puja pratishtadi yata upashaka gana. So, here's the translation. Some unnecessary creepers which grow with the creeper of bhakti, devotion, are the creepers of behavior unacceptable for those trying to attain perfection. And here's the list. Have your pen ready. Poise. Okay, so here we go. Verse 6. First one. It's sort of a dual one, actually. Fault finding and or duplicity. They're kind of brothers or close relatives of each other. Fault finding and duplicity. Kutinati. K-U-T-I-N-A-T-I. Second one is pratishta. Pratishta. P-R-A-T-I-S-H-T-H-A. Pratishta. The desire for name and fame and high position in spiritual life, in Krishna consciousness. I will become a famous devotee. And when people see me walk by, they will gasp, "Oh look, it's Krishna Das, or Radha Dasi, or someone like that." And they may even bow down sometimes. Then I know I've really made it. So that's pratishta, the desire for name and fame and high position. Number three, jiva himsa. Jiva, J-I-V-A, hyphen, himsa, H-I-M-S-A. Being envious of other living entities. Even actually himsa, literally in a very literal sense, means violence. The official philosophy of Buddhism is called ahimsa. Ahimsa means non-violence. Anyway, we're not following Buddhism as such, but still, it's a very important point for us. So next thing, number four, Nishidacha. N-I-S-H-I-D-D-H-A-C-H-A-R-N. Can you keep up with me? Nishidacha means accepting things forbidden in the scriptures. Nishidacha. Acha, of course, many of you would know, acha means activity. Prabhupada is the acharya of ISKCON, the person who taught by his own activities. His own example was educational. Number five, are you with me? Oh, you're such good students. You remember being at school or university. Yeah. Okay, next one, number five, karma. Not karma, but karma. K-A-M-A. Desire for material enjoyment through Krishna consciousness. And some of these are kind of connected to each other to some degree. Karma, desire for material enjoyment in the name of Krishna consciousness. And then number six, and the last one, is puja, which of course means, in this context, the desire to be worshipped. So it's sort of an extension, a development of number two into a more sort of dramatic, more vivid type of manifestation. Okay, there you go. Now, devotees, we must tell you the story because it's very interesting and it's very colorful also. You'll find parts of it even amusing. So like we said, it was the day or maybe 2 days before the Jagannath Rath Yatra. And Lord Chaitanya, as the great devotee of Lord Jagannath, and the leader of the devotees in Jagannath Puri, and not only that, but so many people from his previous days, when he was living in Navadweep in Bengal up to the north, they would also come, and Lord Chaitanya was the leader of all of them. And that means there were some hundreds of devotees who are under the supervision, under the leadership of Lord Chaitanya. So Lord Chaitanya then, he gathered all his devotees early in the morning by the Gaudiya temple. I think he's doing exercise. So he gathered all the devotees, and the temple, in fact, was overseen by the king. And the king instructed the manager that whatever Lord Chaitanya asks for, just give it to them. So Lord Chaitanya asked, we need brooms, a few hundred. Then we need buckets. We need cloths and mops and such like. All different types of things for cleaning. we need. So the manager organized that extremely quickly, and Lord Chaitanya divided the devotees up. There was and is to this day, if you go there, as you're driving and just as you're entering the town, you'll see you cross over a river, a small river, but it's there. And then you pass the Gundicha temple as you're entering in towards the big temple. So a whole group of devotees, they made a human chain from the river, and with buckets, or actually clay pots, they were passing water in from the river. And some devotees were throwing the water all over the place. They started, you think you know how to clean. Well, anyway, let's see whether you do or not. You know where they started? They started with the ceiling. Is that where you start?
Yeah.
Generally not right. Wave a broom around at the floor. They started with the ceiling, and just liters and hundreds and thousands of liters of water were just thrown on the ceiling, and devotees climbed up and cleaned the ceiling till it was spotless. Then they came down. And now a whole lot of water has been gathered, and those devotees from the riverside, they have come up to join everyone else in the temple. And now they started, what's next? The floor? No, the walls. The walls. Then there's just water. Hundreds and hundreds of liters of water just all over the walls, and the walls are being washed down frantically. Then they moved onto the floor, and when they got onto the floor, Lord Chaitanya stepped forward and said, you know what, we will make a competition of this. Whoever you have to gather your whatever dirt you clean, you have to make a pile of it, and at the end everyone has to take their pile outside and sit down on the floor with their pile of dirt, and I will judge, Lord Chaitanya said. And whoever has the least dirt has to provide sweets for all the others. That was the punishment for failing, being a failure in cleaning. So the devotees went for it like, I don't know if I should say, like you wouldn't believe, but they really went for it. And they just cleaned and cleaned and cleaned and cleaned and cleaned and cleaned and cleaned. And they also cleaned further. So, and everyone's piling up dirt. And then at the end, that place was just glittering. It was effulgent. It was so clean. Everything was just glistening, like crystal, practically. And everyone went out, sat down with their pile of dirt in front of them, and Lord Chaitanya judged. And you know what, devotees and friends, listen to this. Lord Chaitanya himself, from his own personal effort, he had collected more dirt than everyone else put together. How's that? Okay, so that was that. And some few devotees got the least In fact, Lord Chaitanya, while it was all going on, Lord Chaitanya was occasionally going around and checking, how are you doing? How's everyone doing? How much dirt do you have? Okay, how much do you have? Okay, I see. And if someone didn't have much dirt, Lord Chaitanya would utilize what we can call transcendental sarcasm. Normally sarcasm is not appreciated because it's, I mean, just in principle practically, because sarcasm is humor in the mode of ignorance. It's kind of got a destructive, negative, even sometimes a little offensive edge to it. So that but there's a transcendental version, and Lord Chaitanya utilized that. He would go and he would find someone whose pile of dirt was quite small. And he would say, oh, look how much dirt you've got. Oh, you're doing so well. You're doing much better than him, the next person who had a lot more dirt. And then the person would look and say, oops, actually he's got more dirt than me. And then he'd really get into it and try and get more dirt. Competition. Here's a lesson you can note. Lord Chaitanya here utilized competition. Many times people think that if you're spiritual, you cannot be competitive. Like competition, competitive spirit, this is just, what would you say, just naturally material. And to the exclusion, just simply material. And you cannot apply that type of principle in spiritual life. But here, Lord Chaitanya, who is God himself, and therefore the ultimate authority on everything, is utilizing competition. He's utilizing it, but it's done in a very good-natured way. It's not done, you know, what should I say, like Manchester United versus, hopefully you know more, well, I hope you don't know more than me, actually. Anyway, you know, in that sort of competition, people become violent and they just lose it sometimes. Oh yeah, it brings out, you know, unpleasant things from deeper within. Well, unfortunately, our hearts are like that. Deep down, even people who are practicing Krishna consciousness and are basically nice, but if you scratch enough beneath the surface, you'll find there's a few nasty things there, even in you. Don't mind me saying it. But actually, generally, I mean, unless you're really very advanced, unfortunately it's true. So, and having said that Lord Chaitanya utilized competition to inspire and to help the devotees to progress and develop and become more interested and like focused and dedicated in their devotional service. Prabhupada utilized competition, particularly within book distribution. Maybe you've heard about it, read about it a little. Prabhupada encouraged competition, but not to the point that someone gets so worked up, they develop a negative attitude towards whoever they're competing with. And sometimes it would happen in Prabhupada's time, devotees would get too carried away in competition in book distribution. So it's a delicate thing. It's a delicate thing. It's not like just go for it and be competitive. It's definitely not like that. But it's competitive in a spirit of how, if I do nicely, others may also be inspired to serve better than they're serving now. To help the conditioned souls by distributing more books than they would otherwise distribute. But I do recall, let me just tell you a couple of little incidents where devotees got too carried away. What do you think of this? Listen to this. This is a good one. Fasten your seatbelts a bit. These are devotees here. So one devotee is late in the day and they're just about to finish for the day. They're on the street somewhere in some town. This was in England and Ireland. So it's late, they're about to finish. And one of them has distributed one book more than the other. But the other has now caught a person. And it looks like that person may take a book, or maybe two. And then so the other person will distribute one more than the first person. And you know what happened? I saw it with my own eyes. But the first distributor came running up where the other devotee is speaking to the person to get him to take a book. And the other devotee tells the person, don't take it. Seriously. Don't take it, he's ripping you off. You know, something along those lines. I mean, this is getting carried away. Taking it too far. I'm just mentioning it so that, you know, if you try and sort of take this idea into your mind and your heart, you can also be mindful, you know, and be a little careful, you know, to keep a watch on yourself and not just go haywire trying to become the first and the best and the top and the greatest. As Muhammad, Cassius Clay in those days said, I am the greatest. Not like that. And another time, how's this? I could tell you a few stories. You might think, are these devotees? And it's a good question, but they were devotees. This one devotee, they're living in a van, and all the books and everything's in the van, but the devotees are chanting their rounds outside, maybe in a sort of a camping area, or maybe by a lake or some nice natural place. And one devotee who wants to win takes a whole stack of books, plenty of books, locks the doors of the van, puts the key in his pocket and goes out into the city, some really large city where you just, it was hard to find him. And so the devotees can't get access to the van. You follow what happened. This is going too far. But otherwise a competitive spirit in the sense that if I serve nicely and other devotees see it, then they may become inspired that, oh, let me serve like that too. Let me do better than what I'm doing for the pleasure of the Lord. This is the idea. Anyway, I hope you noted something about that. Okay. So there we were now. Lord Chaitanya checked everyone outside, and he collected more than everybody else put together. And then you know what Lord Chaitanya did? Lord Chaitanya did a very extraordinary thing. You might find it hard to believe, and the devotees found it very hard to believe. Lord Chaitanya said, all right, we're going in again. We're going to clean the temple again. And the devotees thought, what is this? This temple is just, it's too clean. It's just so clean. It's overwhelmingly clean. What's the point? There's just no point. But Lord Chaitanya is Lord Chaitanya. He was the leader. And he told them, we are going in to clean again. And they went in and they cleaned again. And this time, well, you know, there's some different interesting little incidents here and there. This time, Lord Chaitanya himself was cleaning the altar. You know, I mentioned at the beginning, that altar was just very simple. It was just a base, maybe a meter or something like that high, like a solid base with a platform on top, and that's it. That's the altar. No pillars and ornate things, nothing of that sort. It's very simple. So Lord Chaitanya climbed up onto the altar, and he was kneeling, he was on his hands and knees on the altar, cleaning the surface which the Jagannath deities would stand on. And as he was doing it, his feet, his lotus feet, were sticking out, hanging over the edge. And one Bengali devotee, a visitor, Bengali devotee, he noticed this, and he alerted one of his devotee friends, look at this. So that devotee from Bengal, he took like a sort of, not a mug, but a jug, like a jug or something like that, of water, and nonchalantly went over to where Lord Chaitanya's feet were sticking over the edge, and very nonchalantly, you know, looking the other way, interesting, look at that. He poured water over the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya. And the other devotee, his friend, jumped in underneath and grabbed some of the water and drank it. And Lord Chaitanya turned around and caught them. And Lord Chaitanya got really angry. And he jumped off the altar and he just shouted, particularly at the one of them, who was sort of like the leader of the conspiracy. And he just shouted at him, get out, just get out, just get out. And that devotee had to go out. Then he called for Swarup Damodar Goswami, who was the leader of the devotees who'd come from Bengal. And he said, did you see what your Bengali devotee did? Oh. But Chaitanya Charitamrita describes, internally, Lord Chaitanya was happy. There's a lesson in this. There's a lesson in this. That they were simply trying to get some mercy. Any of you who are practicing devotees, who've read something, who've been around for a while in Krishna consciousness, you know that to get some dust from the lotus feet of a great devotee or the deity or practically any devotee, any reasonable devotee, this is very nice. And devotees aspire for this. One of the days we'll tell you the story of Kalidas, who made a lifelong project of getting the dust and washing the feet and getting the water. etc. of the devotees. So, we should, devotees, you know what? We should try to get the dust or the water which has washed the lotus feet of the Lord and the devotees. Is that okay? You got it? Did you make a note? Don't forget that. But, you know, you're a devotee too. And if some other devotee decides they want to get the dust or the water which has washed your lotus feet, you must stop them. You must stop them. Is that okay? Yeah. So you must get it, but you must stop it, depending on the situation. So it's, you know, are you familiar with this idea of catch 22? You know, I must admit, and I'm happy to say, I never saw the film. You know what I'm referring to? You're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. So that you can't win either way. You must get it. It cannot be given. So, anyway, we'll let you sort that one out in your heads. But really, what is good, what is best, of course one can with very senior devotees or particularly one's spiritual master. With other devotees, even with one's spiritual master, it may be, it's a good idea to ask, rather than just go in like a sort of, what would you say, a hijacker, and hijack some dust. You know? Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, when he was young, before he was like the active spiritual leader, he took part in a debate. That's a bit of a long story, but he won the debate decisively and sort of demolished the opposition, spiritual debate. And there were hundreds and hundreds, maybe 1,000 or more people there. And when he just defeated them, so well, practically devastated them, the people who were all devotees, they wanted to get some dust from his feet. About 1,000 or more descended on him. Where are the feet? And he ran. He didn't want to do it. But the police grabbed him. And they got a big, what do you call such a thing? Not a bucket, but a
basin.
Okay, say a basin, eh? But a big one. A really serious basin. Some hundreds of liters. Stuck his feet in it and just poured hundreds of liters of water on his feet and then took it out to the people. Yes. So the point to learn, two points. One is, if possible, get. And if possible, get nicely. And not really aggressively. Because sometimes devotees get upset to grab their feet. Yeah. And you don't want to upset devotees because that's offense. And the other thing is, try to avoid it. Giving it, unless you're a spiritual master. Otherwise, you know, it's definitely best to avoid it. It really is. Really is. As spiritual master, one has a type of obligation to disciples. So that it can happen. But otherwise, not really. All right, so there we were. Second cleaning. And this time, devotees and friends, you know what happened? Well, it's a competition again. Same competition. And in the end, everyone goes out, sits down, puts their pile of dirt there. And again, devotees, you know what happened, don't you? Lord Chaitanya got more dirt than all the others put together. You know, we're going to start talking now, right now actually, about these two stages of cleansing, and particularly the second stage, what to look out for. So this we really want to learn something from. So one point, one very important point, is like foundational point underlining practically everything here. And because, like we said, each cleansing, first and second, represents a particular level of cleansing of the heart and getting rid of anathas and undesirable desires and states of mind. So the very foundational point, listen to this and note this down, is that just as in the physical cleaning of the temple, Lord Chaitanya got more dirt than everyone else put together, similarly, in the process of cleaning the heart, the mercy of the Lord is the main thing. It's always the greatest thing. Not that you just sort of take it, relax and just say, okay, Krishna, cleanse the heart, go for it. You have to try your best. But even when you try your best of the best, you just really try your best, still the mercy of the Lord is the main thing in the process of cleansing the heart and just in Krishna consciousness generally. So one devotee, it wasn't actually Srila Prabhupada, but one devotee put it in a very interesting way, a very nice way. Listen to this. That, you know, like we said, you've got to try your best. So the devotee said, you should try like everything depends on you. Not half-heartedly. You should try as if everything depends on you to cleanse your heart, to be successful in your devotional service. But you should pray and chant like everything depends on Krishna. How's that? It's a good one. Note it down. It's just a really good one. Unlike in Bhagavad Gita, you know, at the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna is protesting. He doesn't want to fight. And in the end, he just sits down in his chariot and says, that's it. I'm not going to fight. In effect, well, when he says that, he addresses Krishna as Janardan, Jana Ardana, Janardan, which means the destroyer of all people, or even living entities. So in effect, what he's doing by sitting down and saying, I'm not going to fight, oh destroyer of people, what he's saying is that I am not going to fight. I'm going to sit down and sleep. And if you want this battle fought, you do it. Because you're Jana Ardana. You're the destroyer of people. So go on. Destroy them if you want them destroyed. And wake me up when you're finished. Yeah. So, you know, some might think it's a contradiction. You try your best as if it depends on you. But in your heart, you're praying, depending, and chanting like it all depends on Krishna. This is sort of like a formula for success. Note it down. Because when we have our test, devotees, alright, anyway, we'll just keep you on your toes. So there we were. And we explained how the first cleaning of the temple represents the first cleaning of the heart to the point where a person becomes qualified to receive first initiation. Basically means they can comfortably follow the regulative principles without having to strain and chant 16 rounds without having to stay up to midnight regularly and somehow they, you know, drag your way through. But you can do these things comfortably and happily and be satisfied like that. So, anyway, through chanting and engaging in the process, the heart becomes cleansed by Krishna. Like we said, the main thing is Krishna's mercy in cleansing the heart. But we also have to make our effort. The part of making your effort means you may have a habit, for example, you may have a habit, if someone insults you, or something along those lines, you may have a habit of insulting them back. Yes, one good turn deserves another. The best defense is a good offense. Anyway, so you may have that habit. I would say it's not uncommon. Someone badmouths you to badmouth them back. I remember being out distributing books in England somewhere. Maybe it was Nottingham or Coventry, Birmingham, that sort of kind of central area, and one of our devotees was getting frustrated. He was struggling to distribute books, and you know, if people wouldn't take a book, sometimes he'd get a little upset with them. And I remember saying, he gave someone a book, explained to them, and please give some money. No. And they gave the book back. And he said to them, "You're just in Maya." Unfortunately, your average person in the street is not so familiar with that idea. You know, like sometimes devotees, when I have to address some gathering of non-devotees or very mixed gathering of non-devotees and not so many devotees, sometimes the person who's introducing me says to everyone, "Yes, oh, this is Bhakti Chaitanya Swami. He is the GBC. And such and such." As if they know what a GBC is. Ah, Krishna. Devotees are very special. Okay, where were we? So, yeah. Yeah, so, okay, you may have some habit like that of reacting. And you may even feel sometimes like, you know, shouting at them or giving them a little punch in the nose or a little slap, as we say in Chatsworth, a what's happened. And you know, you may just feel like that. But in this context, the idea is you have to make the effort to control yourself. And don't just say that, well, you know, when Krishna cleanses my heart so much that I lose the inclination altogether, then until that time, I'll slap him, you know, or cursive or something, because I don't want to be artificial. I don't want to be unnatural. Yeah. What do you think of that? Is that a good idea? No, we have to make an effort. And ultimately, Krishna cleanses the heart and it becomes less difficult. And then it becomes sort of quite natural. You just don't feel like that. These are symptoms of progress. But actually the tendency reduces and ultimately is gone. Through the heart becoming cleansed and not just sort of controlling yourself, as my mother used to say, before you hit them or shout at them, count to 10. That's what my mother advised her. It protected me, the self-control. Yeah. And one other thing I could just mention, because it's just an interesting little point, about the regulative principles, particularly the no intoxication. You know about the no tea and no coffee. Sometimes people, well, in fact, there are many devotees who are not part of ISKCON, but they're definitely their devotees living in Vrindavan and sacred places, but they drink tea. And I remember, in fact, I actually mentioned it. I don't know if you've got the Nandagram DVD that we made like 10 years ago or something. We went to one little town, the name of which I forget. But anyway, we went there to the birthplace of Mother Yashoda, and there's a temple there of her birthplace. And there's one elderly devotee who was just really nice. Such a gentle soul. He was just really wonderful. So we were taking video, because it was for our DVD. We were videoing and going around here and there. And when he came back, and he had, there were three or four of us, three or four cups of tea. He said, you know what? I milked the cow and made tea for you. With the milk from the cow, and I made tea for you. I said, well, actually, you don't drink tea. I'm sorry. Oh, really? You don't drink tea? Okay, no problem. I'll milk the cow again. So he milked the cow again and just made us some milk. And we explained about it in that DVD. So, let me tell you just an interesting little point, background about tea, just in case, because of all the things, no intoxication, tea would generally be seen as the sort of least significant. Everyone knows about coffee, right, and, you know, keeping yourself awake at night by drinking coffee because it's full of whatever it's full of, some thing which stimulates you. But tea, come on, tea, what about tea? Well, I could just relate to you that, you know, my early days in Krishna consciousness in the 70s in England, particularly in London, we would distribute books and regularly get arrested by the police. I lost count, I didn't even try to count really how many times I got arrested, but it must be at least 50. And it could easily be 75. In other words, you're looking at a criminal sitting here. And we would have to, normally they just fill out a form, you've got to go to the station, they fill out a form, you've got to come back the next day and appear in court. But when you go to the court, you've got to go into the back where all the people who are going to be charged and everything, they're all gathered in the back. So in the back, because you tend to get these, you know, what some people would refer to as sort of low-life type people. And in the place in the back, like the holding room, there were these little posters, like A4 types of little things stuck around the wall. Do you have a drinking problem? Contact us. Alcoholics Anonymous, and there's some contact details. Do you have a drug problem? Contact us. Narcotics Anonymous. Do you have a gambling problem? Gamblers Anonymous. And would you believe, and I'm not joking, there it was. Do you have a tea drinking problem? Contact Tea Drinkers Anonymous. See, you all laugh. There's all of you who are awake. You all laugh. Because you think, come on, tea, give us a break, will you? But it's addictive. And you get some little old ladies, they sit there and they just go for it. And just, you know, wipe themselves out, and they end up on the toilet the whole day. If you ever drink 10 liters of anything, I tell you what, you'll be on the toilet. Seriously. All right, anyway. But as one devotee told us, someone asked him, how did you give up eating meat? And the devotee replied, I didn't give up meat. Meat gave me up. Meat gave me up. One day I just woke up and I just, no interest. It was gone. No interest. So what does that mean? Krishna cleansed it out. For the time being, you will have to make some effort sometimes. But when you reach a certain point, by Krishna's grace, these types of attractions, lower tendencies, etc., will be gone. Okay, now, let's move on to the more subtle. This is more important, really, because I know the majority of you. Some of you I know very well for many years, and I know many of you are initiated, which means, or should mean, you can follow, maintain those standards, and you can manage without it being a struggle. But then, the thing is, to come to the point of being a Brahmin or qualified for second initiation, you now have to deal with more subtle types of problems. The six we mentioned, kutinati, fault finding, or hypocrisy. You know, hypocrisy, let me give you an example. You may have had some experience of it, even perhaps, is like, the devotee comes to the Sunday program in the temple. It could be a man, could be a woman. And if it's a man, nice, doughty, and quarter, ironed, and just, oh, looks like he walked out of a Pierre Cardin advertisement. And Tilak, looks like Michelangelo painted it on. Perfect. And hand, permanently in the bead bag. The entire day. You know what I mean? This sort of idea. But then after the program, back home, lock the door from the inside, check. Nobody's around. And what happens? On comes, gosh, I don't know what. Kuch kuch hota hai? I don't know. Some rock and roll. Something. You know what I mean? Make sure no one's watching. This is called hypocrisy. Yeah. And we may sometimes have some sort of tendency like that. I'm not accusing anybody, but, you know, we know how things work, to be frank. Yeah. Just like, here's a good example. One of my disciples wanted second initiation many years ago. He's here at the festival. I won't tell you his name. Good man. So he wanted second initiation. Somehow or other, he took his family to see, there was some Bollywood stage show in Durban. Some different stars came, and not a movie, but an actual stage show. So he went with the family and they saw it and came back. Some days later, he went for an interview with the initiations committee. And they said, now they're all kind of senior, second initiated already. He wanted second initiation. So one of them said, look, we don't think you're ready for second initiation. And he said, why? The committee said, why? And the member of the committee said, because you went to that Bollywood show. It's not, you know, Brahmins don't really do things like that. And the lady said, how do you know? And the committee member said, I saw you there. This is a true story. This is hypocrisy. It really is. And we must really try. Here again, it's trying. We must try to avoid it. Because sometimes it may get at you, or try to. Or fault finding. Someone comes up to you and says, you know such and such. Yes, I know that devotee. He's really nice. Yes. But, and then out comes some poison. But he's like this. He's like that. Some criticism, fault finding. And we are very susceptible to that, because we've been living in that sort of social environment for many lifetimes. So if we hear criticism, it's easy to just grab hold of it and take it in like, yes. And then it becomes kind of like part of you. So, you know that your heart is poisoned when you meet that devotee, whoever the devotee who was being criticized. So you're just walking along around the temple and suddenly you see, oh, there he is, that one. And immediately you think, ah, that bad devotee, there he is. Oh, that's bad. Then you know your heart is contaminated. So we must really avoid fault finding. If someone actually has a fault, like an important fault, if you see a devotee smoking a cigarette, then it's not fault finding to either tell them not to, or maybe to inform some spiritual authority who can, you know, try to address and help that devotee. But to just go around and just rumor monger and gossip, that for devotees it must be out. It's so important. It's so important. And it's hard to become a real Brahman, like qualified for second initiation, if you're still entertaining such things. As soon as you hear these types of things, at least get away. But you know what Rupa Goswami says? And again, you've got to fasten your seatbelts. I mean, you've got to double fasten them, actually. says if you see someone criticizing another devotee, kill yourself. Hurry on. Simple solution. You can't do that. Kill the person who's criticizing. Hurry on. Away you go. If you can't do that, at least cut out his tongue. If he wrestles with you too much and it's too difficult to do, just get away. Just get away. That's the general idea. Just get away. So that was the first one. Fault finding and duplicity. Then the desire for name and fame and for high position. I mean, in a sense, that's kind of straightforward. We should try and cultivate humility. We should all try and cultivate humility. You should try and pray something like this. Listen to this. Try and pray something like this. My dear Lord, I know I'm stupid, but the problem is, I'm so stupid, I cannot see how stupid I am and how much I need help. So dear Lord, please help me to really see myself for what I am, and then give me some mercy to address it. We need to do like this. Otherwise, we have such a tendency to sort of hover about in a bubble of some little bit of false prestige. Even the false prestige that I'm more humble than you. So we should pray like that. We need to pray. Envy of other living entities. You know what example Prabhupada gives when he's discussing these sins? What envy or even violence towards other living entities may be, the form of it may be, for a devotee. Prabhupada says that someone is there, a non-devotee, but you don't present Krishna consciousness to them. This is like violence. Yeah. You must try and present Krishna consciousness to them. Yeah. And then I must say, I've had experience on a few occasions, traveling on aeroplanes a lot. And someone's sitting there, and I'm sitting here, and I'm chanting on my beads, and the flight is going on. And, you know, an hour passes, or even two. And somehow or other, I turn around and our eyes meet. You know what it's like when your eyes meet. And the person says, you know, I've been waiting for the opportunity to inquire from you. And up to that point, you're thinking, oh my God, I'm sure he's not interested. Let me just chant to myself. Nishad Acha, accepting things forbidden in scripture. Listen to this. This is important. It means something like, when you go to the pick and pay, or chickens, or equivalent, and you're looking around for this and that, and so, you know, different things, and you find, what should you find, maybe some Paco's pickle. Okay, looks nice. And you don't look at the ingredients. You just buy it. Oh, it's Paco's, it's all right. Bad news, it's not always all right. If you look in the small print, you may see onions, garlic. Because I tell you, non-devotees, including the vegetarians and vegans, they can hardly cook anything without onions and garlic. They can hardly breathe without using onions and garlic. It's chronic. It is so chronic, completely. You know, onions and garlic are offensive, and generally people know it, particularly garlic. I was on a plane many years ago, and one sort of business fellow, I'm dressed like this, business fellow sitting next to me, across the road there's a few free seats, and jumps up to moon over and turns back and says, "It's not that you've been eating garlic." You follow? Did you catch that? In other words, he's not moving, he's not, doesn't want to just get away from me, but there's a better spot there he wants. So I'm leaving not because you've been eating garlic. Yeah, so we must, you know, cakes cooked, baked with eggs and all these different types of things. I mean, you can really get into it if you want. You know, using ahimsa milk. We have a campaign going in Radharatna trying to develop such a program. Yeah. So this is the basic idea. To be mindful and attentive to really make sure that, you know, for example, how's this? The cauliflower doesn't have little bugs in it. The raspberries, if you're into raspberries and blackberries like me, just check. There's lots of little buggy things. Because you get a lot of these buggy little things. Really try and avoid these things. Karma. Oh, anyway, we'll finish in a couple of minutes. Desire for material gain through Krishna consciousness. Here's an interesting example. Think about this one. When I was a new devotee, many, many years ago, maybe it was even 73, 74 at the latest, we had one young bhakta like me, uninitiated devotee, but living in the temple and, you know, engaged, involved in everything. And we noticed he was very keen on preaching. He would stay in the temple room and wait for people to come in, just visitors to drop in, and he would talk to them and present Krishna consciousness. It's nice, isn't it? However, devotees, he would only approach the ladies and only the young ones. And mainly the nice looking ones. See, I'm not joking at all. And so after a while, you know, the devotees understood this is what's going on. He's trying to enjoy a type of association through Krishna consciousness. And a few devotees, I happened to be there, but a few devotees spoke with him and said, "Listen, you know, preach to the men. Let ladies preach to the ladies. You preach to the men." And he got really upset. Prabhu. Using the word Prabhu like a weapon. Prabhu. I am preaching Krishna consciousness. I'm afraid to say he didn't last long. I think he disappeared with one of those nice-looking young ladies. Oh, here's an alternative. Yes, I want to distribute books. Oh, yes, I want to distribute books and collect donations. Because actually I want to keep some of it for myself. Because, you know, there's no like cash register or something like that out on the street. Yes, I want to distribute books, collect donations, mainly because I want to pocket some of the money. Anyway, these kind of gross examples, but we should be very mindful that we don't take a position of kind of trying to exploit Krishna consciousness for material gain, material enjoyment. And finally, the last one is puja. Actually wanting to be worshipped. Anyway, you know, I think that kind of speaks for itself. Hare Krishna. So how are you doing? Are you still awake? Are you still alive? Okay. You know, we've got to finish now. Tomorrow though we'll start again at 2:30 and we'll have another some interesting pastime with very interesting lessons to be learned. So please come along. And we'll try and leave some time tomorrow for questions. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki. Prabhu Premanande.